This is Ozarks at Large. Between 1942 and 1945, more than 150 people dislocated from their homes died while interned at the Rohr Relocation Center in southern Arkansas. The 186 people were buried at the cemetery created at the camp. Kimball Erdman, an assistant professor of landscape architecture in the Faye Jones School of Architecture at the University of Arkansas, led a project to catalog and help preserve the cemetery at the site that confined Asian Americans during World War II. The work, which included participation by University of Arkansas students, has been cited by the Association for Gravestone Studies. Kimball Erdman continues to work on historical preservation and documentation of historical landscapes, and he recently talked to Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums about his efforts. During their conversation, Kyle asked Erdman if he had heard of Rohr before he moved to Arkansas a few years ago.
No, and in fact, before coming to Arkansas, I spent 10 years in professional practice in Vermont. Working for a couple of different firms, but the primary reason that brought me to Vermont was to work in a firm that specialized in historic landscape preservation. So that was what I did, and had the opportunity to work for some really neat places and properties for a number of years. And then coming here, yeah, I really didn't know much about it, although it's interesting that my mentor at the University of Oregon was Kenneth Helfand. And Kenny had written a book about making gardens in wartime. I'm not sure I have the title of that correct, but and a large chapter of that book is actually devoted to the gardens that were created in the internment camps. And he focuses primarily on the internment camps in the West, but he does touch on the ones in Arkansas too. So I was familiar with it from that standpoint, and that came out about the time that I was coming here to Arkansas. And in fact, he had just come to Arkansas and given a lecture here prior to me coming. And then when I got here, I started looking for different places where I might be able to do research and involve students and teaching them about the field of historic landscape preservation. And Rohr immediately came to the front in terms of an interesting place, a place that had national significance, and was actually the subject of some recent grants that were being administered through the National Park Service.
What was there of the cemetery? If someone had gone to Rohr, would they have known that this was a cemetery at this particular spot?
Yeah, because that's about all that remains.
Oh, I see.
So now it's entirely cotton fields. There's nothing other than a smokestack. There's really the only physical remnant other than the cemetery. And so the cemetery now is really, and you'd never know. You'd never know that anything was ever there unless you're going specifically to see it. It's on an isolated road. It's in the middle of nowhere. And it's even blocked because a railroad line runs along parallel to the road. It actually blocks all views of the former camp. But even if you could see over the railroad, all you'd see is a cotton field.
I can't imagine there's anybody who would hear about, would know about Rohr and would not want to preserve. But on the other hand, I imagine there are endangered historical landscapes throughout the country that the problem is no one does know about them, or the people who do don't know how to help preserve them?
Yeah, and that's very much a case, I would say, certainly in Arkansas. The historic preservation is fairly well established in Arkansas, but it tends to be primarily architecturally focused. And historic landscape preservation as a discipline is really quite new, whereas architectural preservation really gets its going in the Depression in the 1930s through the National Park Service primarily, but then through different states as well. The movement of historic landscape preservation really doesn't begin until the 1980s, and 1990s is when it really takes shape and takes form. And the Historic American Landscape Survey itself only dates to 2000. So it's a quite a recent program. And so there's a lot of education and training that needs to go on to yes, make people aware, but also to train people in the discipline so that we can actually recognize and then preserve these landscapes, particularly here in Arkansas.
What is the chief culprit for losing them? Just the elements or progress?
That's a good question. There are a number of threats to landscapes. First of all, Unlike architecture, which tends to be somewhat static, landscapes are very fluid. They're always changing with time. The vegetation's always growing. The shape of the earth is changing through deposition and erosion. So that's a real challenge to landscapes. And so when we actually speak of landscapes, we talk of character and not so much we know that the site is going to change, but has the character of the site changed? So the threats to landscape partially just comes through time and through the natural processes of things evolving on the site. But then there are other threats, too, with elements being lost and elements being added. Mm. And, for example, at the cemetery, there was some vandalization that took place in the 1950s or so to some of the monuments. There's some elements that are removed, partially out of the good intentions of the folks that are trying to take care of the cemetery, and at the same time, they're adding elements as well. And so while well-intentioned, often those changes are influencing that character, changing that character, and if that's done enough, then the historic significance of the remaining elements can be compromised.
What counts as a landscape? I mean, we're talking about cemetery, but could it be a community?
It can.
A ball field? I mean,
it can. In fact, landscapes can be a very loose term and should be thought of in a very loose sense because oftentimes when folks hear the term landscape, they think of backyards and landscaping. But by landscape, we really do mean everything to large regional areas, but it is typically a defined element or defined area that has a particular set of characteristics. You mentioned communities. The Next House project that we'll be working on at the school, I'll be teaming with Greg Herman from the architecture department, and we'll be taking some students and doing a couple of house reports for resettlement communities in the Delta created during the New Deal during the 1930s. And so we'll be looking at these towns and creating house reports for a couple of these towns.
When you mean resettlement, these are sometimes the places where they just build a row of houses in a hurry for businesses?
These are primarily new communities that were built, entire new towns built by federal government funds to provide opportunities for families that have lost everything. They tended to be farming communities, so that they're creating this this new area where families would get a home, some land to farm, and typically they'd be, again, organized into some type of new town, new community. Dice is the most familiar of these.
Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
I would imagine that there's always a clock running. If you're talking about a historic landscape that is in danger, almost every day or week matters.
Yeah, and that's the part of the issue with this type of work is that there's always a threat because it's the landscapes that are in jeopardy that that receive the attention, and rightly so. But you're right, sometimes that clock has reached a point in which it's difficult to do anything with that site.
Are there places that are just under our nose in our backyard here in Northwest Arkansas that have disappeared or are disappearing?
There is one that's under threat that we just completed documentation for this past summer with a former student, Ben Stinnett, and myself. We, again, completed house documentation of the Gypsy Camp, which is just south of Silent Springs.
Okay, now I've heard of Gypsy Camp. Help me out here.
The Gypsy Camps is a really fascinating place that, again, those former campers are very familiar with it and are actually quite involved still in terms of Facebook page and being very active and interested in its future. But the Gypsy Camp is a former girls' camp that operated from the early 1920s through the 1970s and remains in the hands of the original family that ran and operated the camp, and the owner is now in his 90s. And what's amazing about the camp is you can go there and you can go into the kitchen and still have the original dishes on the shelves. And so it, in some ways, it's very much intact, and yet in other ways, it's been suffering through the years because of the upkeep has been difficult, of course, for the owner as he advances in age. And then there was a flood a couple years ago that damaged much of the properties, and some things were lost. So, it's certainly under threat, and yet it's a marvelous landscape. Yeah, right here in our own backyard.
Is there a problem because at some point some of these places, not necessarily the Rohr Cemetery, but other places become, quote, an eyesore, as opposed to in the eye of the beholder, they might think this is something that isn't that important if it's not been kept up for a decade or a few. And so some people might not see the historic value of a landscape.
And there's some education that likely needs to occur. And yet at the same time, there's a variety of preservation strategies that can be enacted that would really help meet the needs of the future while respecting those of the past. And that's true with any – and when we think of preservation, I think we often think of restoration and going back to a particular period in time and trying to take something that is fluid and dynamic and make it very static. And that's really not possible with a landscape. And so, the most common treatment, I would say, for most landscapes is going to be something along the lines of rehabilitation, which is a strategy that allows, again, for preservation of historic elements and yet accommodating contemporary uses.
Is it ever difficult to not become over-romanticized, as some of us lay people might, about a place? I mean, this is a science, and this is history, and this is scholarly work.
Yes, but I would say that certainly drives me all the time, and I think that's one of the things that excites me about this profession is, yes, I will admit, the romanticization of of these places. And I think that's okay to have that because, again, I think that's what raises our interest in these spaces and motivates us to take care of them and be stewards of these places. Without that, I think they're easily lost and forgotten.
Is there any dovetailing that we can make between historical landscape preservation and creating current landscapes? Or
absolutely. And that's something that as a discipline, I would say that the discipline of landscape architecture recognizes that, and so that dovetailing, I believe, is oftentimes already happening, because when a landscape architect comes in and designs a site, they're looking at not only the existing conditions of that landscape in terms of its natural processes and things, but they're also looking at the cultural processes and the cultural history, and a new design in a landscape, I would say typically or hopefully is evoking that cultural tradition, and that's certainly something that we teach, and I think is many times followed.
Most of the students I imagine you work with at the university are in their 20s.
They are. It's our program is entirely an undergraduate program.
So what's that like? I mean, as we all get older, I think we think of history a little bit differently. It seems more relevant. I don't know if you're 20 or 22. History could be 1981, right? I mean,
that's certainly true, but that's okay with these landscapes, and because they're evolving and they are. So that perspective, I think, that doesn't bother me. What is exciting to me is since I've been here for the past 4 years, we've had an increasing number of students becoming interested in historic preservation, not only in landscape architecture, but throughout the School of Architecture. And we're doing some things to build momentum on that and beginning to team together. And there's a number of opportunities, some of which I've mentioned, that are wonderful opportunities for our students and also for the faculty to team together and take on these great projects.
I imagine it's an exciting discipline because tomorrow could be the next great lead of something you didn't even know about.
Absolutely. And there's always places out there to discover and, again, to steward and to make sure that they're around for the future generations.
All right, one last question. Could be impossible to answer, but I'm going to give you a year's time and an unlimited budget to go anywhere you want professionally, what would you – do you know where you would go or what you would study or look for?
A year's time. That is an impossible question.
You don't have to take the whole year.
Yeah. You know, I think I would stay here. And the next project that I'm hoping takes place at ROAR, there's continuing grants that are going on. There's another one being sought that would take another step in the preservation of the cemetery. But there's another project that needs to happen, and that is we did house documentation of it. But we did not do a full cultural landscape report. And what the cultural landscape report does is that it documents the landscape like the house project, but it also plans for the future. It tries to determine what we should do now with the cemetery and figure out how do we care for it and what interventions need to be taken to perhaps bring back some of that lost historic character, but again, meet the needs, the current needs. And that has not been done yet for the cemetery, and that needs to happen. And that would be, I think, what I would take on.
And I imagine it must be a solemn place. These were people who were ripped from their homes, sometimes overnight, taken far away, and then I died before being able to go back home.
Yeah, there's a 180-some people that died while living in ROAR, and majority of them elderly people. There are only 24 headstones at the cemetery. Most chose to be cremated. Mm-hmm. The monuments in the cemetery, there are the 24 headstones and then two large monuments. And the monuments and the headstones were all built by one of the internees who took it upon himself to memorialize these people who lost their lives. And it's a very sacred experience to be able to work on this site. And it's to have that memory. And many of that generation, there are few internees left. There are some, but there are few and fewer as that generation is passing on. And that torch needs to be carried. And again, this Japanese American Confinement Science Grant Program is trying to do that. It's a little late on the game, and since the early 1960s, the former internees have been calling on the national government to do things to recognize the internment and how wrong it was, and to also preserve these sites. And it really hasn't happened as a focused government effort until 2009 or so.
Kimball, thank you so much for your time.
You bet.
Appreciate it.
Kimball Erdman is an assistant professor of landscape architecture in the Fay Jones School of Architecture at the University of Arkansas. He was recently awarded the Oakley Certificate of Merit Award for work relating to the preservation of the ROAR Relocation Center Cemetery in Deschutes County, Arkansas. He recently spoke to Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio.